Difficult to put right if you've had a dalliance. Dalliance? Whatever has happened to our vocabulary this evening?
An assignation, then. Well, whatever we might call it. Uncle Adrian will never have one with Diana. He's simply too nice.
Hugh, are you asleep? Can I come in?
Dinny, of course.
Have you had any news?
I've been to see my regimental CO. A few more weeks and it looks like Cairo.
Oh, I shall miss you terribly when you go away.
Oh, perhaps it won't be too long this time. And you could always come to see me.
Darling, the reason I was late... Andrew said something.
Huh?
What was the name of the man who led your expedition in Bolivia?
You mean Hallison? And what about him?
He's written a book.
What sort of book?
Oh, I'm not entirely sure.
I expect he wants to tell the entire world how extraordinary he is.
Aren't you rather clammed up about it?
He really has the most enormous head. Just imagine a man the size of a telegraph pole with a huge head like a pumpkin on top, banging into doors and falling over his own feet.
You don't.
I'm serious. We couldn't find a tent to fit him. His feet were always sticking out. I used to say, "Sir, suppose a wild beast of some sort eats your feet in the night." He said, "Better they eat my feet than my head, Cheryl."
Oh, Hugh, I have missed you. Don't go away again too soon.
I'll tell the regiment you said so.
Diana Furze, Dinny's closest friend, lives just off the King's Road, in a house which she has made one of the most charming nests in London.
Dinny, what a lovely surprise! Hello. Your Uncle Adrian is with the children, pretending to be a rhinoceros.
The good taste of Diana's beautiful home, her harpsichord, her Bristol glass, the upholstery on her chairs, combine to radiate comfort to all who visit.
They look exactly like strawberries, but taste like carrots.
Dinny's here, Adrian. We're going to have tea and a talk.
Hello, Uncle Adrian.
Adrian, who has loved Diana since long before her fatal marriage. He desires her happiness above his own.
I can't stop, Dinny. We're trying to find a unicorn to fly us to the moon. And luckily, I happen to know one who I helped with a stone in his shoe 200 years ago.
I really didn't know who else I could speak to.
And you've seen what this American chap has said. Here, darling, have some tea.
Thanks. Yes, I went this morning and bought a copy in the Charing Cross Road. He's virtually suggesting that the whole expedition failed because of Hugh.
Is that within the law? To put something so awful in print?
Perhaps Uncle Adrian will know. You see, a man died out there. One of the native bearers.
Oh.
Hugh told us all about it. How he was attacked and had to defend himself. Oh. Mother and Dad accepted. It was just a dreadful event that couldn't be helped.
I'm sure, darling.
The thing is, Hugh can't bear to be thought badly of. Even at school, he had to be the boy everyone wanted on their team.
I'm sure it's simply a mistake. You must come to lunch with us and we can talk everything through.
Oh, no. I couldn't intrude.
My dear girl, impossible. Come to lunch. We're going to the most lovely place.
The little Bulgarian cafe is modest in price, which suits Adrian, as he rarely has more than a pound in his pocket. Its simple style and wholesome food delights Diana, who delights Adrian in turn by always making him feel as proud as if he had taken her for Dover sole and champagne at the Savoy.
We come here whenever we can, don't we, Adrian? I love that they always have music, even at 11 o'clock in the morning.
I believe there's not a waiter in the place who can't rustle up a tune.
Really, I should be more than happy to live here.
I'll ask if we might reserve a table for life.
That would be bliss.
I should bring Hugh here. He adores new places.
Dinny wanted to ask your advice, darling, about this book.
Oh, Diana said you've had some chap behaving rather badly.
It's the professor who led Hugh's expedition to Bolivia.
I know Hallison. He collected some samples for the museum when he was out there.
It can't be right that he's going about saying whatever he likes.
Hallison may be an American, and they do have different ideas about these things, but he's always struck me as a decent sort.
I was thinking, might it not be possible for someone to speak up for Hugh? Someone on our side?
Did you have anyone in mind?
Someone with influence. An army man, ideally.
Oh, it would be pulling strings, which gives the well-connected an unfair advantage.
I know, and really I don't approve. But it does seem terribly unfair for this professor to simply give one side of the story.
Wouldn't it be better to confront Hallison himself?
Oh, I expect he'd be far too...